Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
It's a little bright, the glory of the Lord. Well, it's always an honor to be up here in front of you all. And I'm going to open up in prayer real quick, and then we'll go from there. Father God, we just thank you so much. We just thank you, Lord God, that we have the honor and privilege to delight ourselves in you. We thank you, Lord God, for being our King, for being the great I am, for being the faithful one. Lord God, have your way tonight in our hearts, in our minds, in our whole being, because all of it is yours. We owe you everything. Because you gave us everything. We owe you our lives. So I pray, Lord God, that you would move me out of the way tonight. And that you would step on in, Father God. Holy Spirit, just have your way in this place. Remove every distraction, Lord God, and allow our all to be focused on you. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And before I get started, I just wanted to honor the Lord. He's the lover of my soul. I wanted to honor my husband. He always makes me smile and laugh and encourages me. And I'm just thankful that the Lord brought him in my life. Honoring the pastors of this house, Pastor Franklin and Annis Faye. And honoring my pastors. And I just thank you, Pastor Nate and Pastor Gil, for being awesome leaders. Pastor Nate, you're an awesome father, and you're a true representation of the love of the Lord. And Pastor Gail, I love you so much, and I thank you for all that you've done in me and my husband's life. The Lord, he always flips it on me. So I'm going to talk about worship, because that's the theme, a call to worship. The title of my message is Here I Am, and we'll get into that. But the Lord just, I don't sing, but I'm going to be obedient. The Lord gave me a song, and I see my husband right there. But it goes like this. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's my heart towards the Lord. And he wanted me to share my testimony. I have so many testimonies, but don't we all? My recent testimony about overcoming fear and just the call that I have upon my life. And I realized in that fear that I thought was me, wasn't me. The call that the Lord has on my life is something that I've known since I looked back, something that I've known since I was little. But when you're little, you don't know what to do with the stuff, because the Lord will give you gifts even when he doesn't know, even when you don't know him. And so the call that I had on my life was the spirit of discernment. And I've learned that my spirit of discernment is in such a way, not only to where I would discern what's right, what's wrong, what's good, if a good spirit or bad spirit, but also I would go through what another person would go through. So the first time I really experienced this heavy was just a little while ago. And it was my first time casting an evil spirit out of someone. And I thought I was losing my mind, because what the Lord revealed to me over some months of time of just seeking his face, going into counseling, because this stuff is real, going to counseling, and He revealed to me my gift. And all the time I would be like, Lord, I don't want to be scared. I want to be bold in you. That's, I wanted to answer the call, because every time somebody would prophesy over me, they will always speak that I was this bold person, but I didn't feel like I was this bold person. I didn't feel like I was this great woman of God that people were speaking into my life, but that's what I wanted to be. That's who I wanted to be. I wanted to be bold. I wanted to be fearless. I wanted to do what the Lord wanted me to do. So in this situation, I pushed past my fear, what I felt on the inside, and it was like my mind was in a whirlwind. It was like so much confusion, so much doubt, but at the same time, I would hear the voice clearly. And so looking back in hindsight on that, I know that what the Lord was revealing to me, what was a gift, what I thought was like, man, what's wrong with me? Am I going crazy? Am I losing my mind? Because I'm going to be real, thoughts of suicide, thoughts of depression, thoughts of hurting my husband, thoughts of hurting my dog. When I read the word of God, the enemy would twist it to where he would try to put his name inside the word of God. And it was like, Lord, what is going on? And so I thought that the Lord left me. I thought that the Lord left me. And honestly, I got depressed because I thought that he left me. I was like, what am I going through? And so I sought a counselor. And you know how you try to figure stuff out? You try to figure out, okay, this must be me because this happened to me this time in my life and this time in my life. And every time I would talk about those things or mention those things to my counselor, it's like everything would get twisted. But as I started seeking the Lord, as I started worshiping him, as I started spending time with him, as I started listening to worship music, the Lord began to clear that. But every time I would try to figure it out on my own, it would go back to not being clear. It was so much fuzziness, so much chaos. Pastor Franklin talked about the noise, and you have to get away to be still. And there was 3 nights where I couldn't really sleep. I know I got a little sleep, but I wasn't sleeping. I was losing a lot of weight because I was anxious in my body. And I just wanted to, the enemy is real. And he will try to distract you and throw you off the course of what God wants you to do. But my pastor told me that the Lord had spoken to him. This was before even I knew that my spirit of discernment was that way. Before I knew that, he told me that the Lord said to stand. And now when the enemy tries to say stuff or do stuff, the Lord just makes me laugh. And I'm so tickled in my spirit because the call that I so wanted, the boldness that I so wanted, the Lord is moving in those things. Maybe not the way that I saw or wanted him to move, but that's the way he saw fit to move. There were times when I was at work where I would have to go to the bathroom and literally sit on the floor and cry out to him because the confusion in my mind was so heavy. I felt like I was losing my mind. And I would just cry out to him. You talk about getting in the secret place. And I would cry out to him and be like, Lord, you're my king. I love you and I worship you. Anything that you want me to do, I will do it. Give me an extra dose of faith in the midst of all that chaos, in the midst of all that confusion, in the midst of all that fear. The Lord still kept me and I'm still here today despite the thoughts of suicide, despite the thoughts of harming my husband, despite those thoughts. But I knew that those thoughts were not my thoughts because he was still speaking to me. I knew who to pray for, when those thoughts would come, I knew who to pray for. And it's just amazing how he uses us. And when we answer the call of the Lord in our lives, it may not be a pretty picture. Sometimes we think it's a pretty picture. Sometimes we look in the Bible and we read in the Bible and we can only see some of the big stuff that the Lord did in the lives of people, the times when he worked miracles in people's lives. But what about when they were going through before the miracle? What did they deal with before the miracle? And I would say, while you're going through, worship the Lord, because he is our God, he is our King, he is our peace, he is our refuge. So that's just a little bit of my testimony that he wanted me to share before I opened up. But yeah, answering the call, sometimes it's not pretty, but it's necessary because growth is necessary. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to go and say, what is worship? The dictionary says worship is adoring reverence or regard paid to God. It's honor. How do we pay God? What can we give him that he would even want? The only thing that God wants from us is everything. We owe him our lives. Once we accepted Christ, our life is not our own. So we owe him everything. So how do we worship God? We worship him in the way we live our lives. We worship is ministry unto the Lord. It is our obedience, not just when he says, go pray for someone or go tell someone about me. But it is obedience and lifestyle. Obedience and lifestyle. So the way we dress, the way we act, the way we react, what we watch, what comes out of our mouth, what he tells us to do, that's all obedience and lifestyle. Amen. In our worship or our ministry to the Lord, it preps us for our calling. My best friend Nicole, she gave this word to me, and she said that the Lord spoke to me and said that I was like a caterpillar. I was just eating and eating and eating along the way. And I believe that that was my ministry to the Lord, just gathering and eating and storing. And when you come into the fullness of your calling, there's a metamorphosis, that there's a transformation that the Lord does, transformation from who you used to be in the beginning in the Lord to who he wants you to become. And I believe that in our lives, there will always be seasons of transformation in our lives. And there's not only one season, there's not only rough seasons, but there's a season of abundance. And I believe that the Lord has to take us through the rough seasons in order to get and appreciate the abundance. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to do just a little thing, and I need some volunteers because I like a little interaction. So if I can get one adult and two kids, real quick. One adult, two kids. Kayla, come on. And I need an adult. One adult. Okay. Okay. So when someone calls us by name, because this is the title of this message, is Here I Am, Answer the Call. So when someone calls us by name, kids, I want you over here. Hi, baby. Okay. And Precious, stay right here. And I want you to call Markayla and come tell her to do the dishes. Kayla, come do these dishes. And Markayla, I want you to just look at her and then walk away. Okay, that might get her whooped, but. Okay, I want you to call. Say, Markayla. And then answer her and say yes. Come do these dishes. Okay, go out there. Go look in the kitchen. Look at the dishes. Okay, then walk away. So this is how we do the Lord sometimes when we're running from our call. He says, Precious, come over here, come, go pray for that person. He talking to me? And then you don't do it. Precious, didn't I tell you to pray for that person last week? And then we make excuses. I don't know if that's the Lord's voice. I don't know if I'm going to pray for her because she's this, this, and this. Or she might be going through this, and that might not be for me, and so you don't do it. So sometimes if we run long for from the Lord, he'll use somebody else. So call Mari. Tell her to do the dishes. Mari, go in there and scrub them dishes, girl. So, and when that happens, when we're obedient like that, not that we do things to get gifts from the Lord, but when we are obedient to what he's called us to do, he will give us gifts, maybe spiritual, maybe in the natural, but whatever gift he sees fit to give us, that's the gift that he will give us, and that's the gift we have to accept. Because with my gift, sometimes it feels like a suffering. You guys can sit down. Sometimes it feels like a suffering. And when I was going through, I was like, Jesus, did you go through some of this? Of course he did. Of course he went through that and so much more, because if he did not go through any of that, he would not know how to minister to any of us. So he had to go through the torment in his mind. He had to get tortured and beat, because some people in this world are getting tortured and beaten. He had to go through so many things because he wouldn't know how to minister to us. It would be like, oh, don't know what they're just going through. But, and I believe that's the reason why the Lord gives us some spiritual gifts, and that's the reason why he gave me what he gave me. Because how would I know how to minister to somebody who has thoughts of suicide? How would I know how to minister to somebody if they're confused, thinking that they're a female? Because sometimes I will look in the mirror and the enemy will tell me, you're a boy. I'm so serious. And that's what he does to people's mind in this world, and over and over and over, until they believe that, until they believe the lie. And so that's what the Lord was showing me. The enemy would come to me saying, you're this and you're that. And it's just like, no, I'm not. So you have to stand on the Lord's word, even if confusion comes, even if the enemy is at your heels coming against you, you have to stand, because how else will you be able to minister to the lost? Because that's who we're called to. And that's the reason sometimes why we have to suffer, because if we do not suffer, how will we know how to minister the correct way? Amen. Amen. So we're going to be reading out of Samuel tonight, because like I said, it's called Here I Am, and you'll see why for those who may not have read the book of Samuel, but for those who have, you know why. But so we're going to talk about the family background first of how Samuel was born. So Samuel's parents were Elkanah and Hannah. Hannah could not bear children, and Elkanah had another wife named Peninnah. I said that wrong, but it's okay. Who bore many children. Peninnah would provoke Hannah because she could not bear any children. Long story short, Hannah cried out to the Lord in the temple and promised the Lord that if he were to give her a child, she would dedicate that child to him. The Lord ended up blessing Elkanah and Hannah with a son, and they named him Samuel. Once Samuel was weaned from his mother, Samuel lived and served in the temple of the Lord with Eli the priest. And that's out of 1 Samuel 1, just to paraphrase. So let's go to 1 Samuel 2:18 through 35. And this is going to talk about Samuel's childhood ministry. And I'll, for those who are going, I'll give a sec to get there. I don't know if it's up there, but verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. So what the ephod represents is that's a priestly garment, a priestly robe. So to be in the temple, you had to be a priest. And so the Lord already had him in that. Samuel ministered to the Lord before he even knew the Lord, because that is what he was trained to do. Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So during that time of him ministering to the Lord without him knowing the Lord was prepping Samuel for his calling. And many of us, we have been in the prepping stages for too long, because we've been running from our call. See, the Lord is patient with us. And he's not going to just give what he's calling us to do to someone right away. But if you don't have a willing heart over time, he will give it to someone else. And that's the reason why we stay stagnant and stay in the prepping stages for too long, because we're running. So verse 19 goes on to say, moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, The Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. So the loan that was given that Hannah and her husband gave to the Lord was their son. And how many know that when you go to a bank, if you were to take out a loan, there's going to be interest on that loan. But when we are obedient and walk in the calling that God wants us to walk in, he will pay us interest for the loan that we gave him. So that's what he did. That's what he did for Hannah, because she did what she said she was going to do. Even though I know she felt all kind of emotions when she finally had a son and gave her son to the Lord, she was a woman of integrity. Since Hannah kept her vow, the Lord blessed her womb with interest. The second part of verse 20 says, then they would go to their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So the Lord gave Hannah interest five times for loaning him her son, her firstborn. And my question is, what interest is the Lord giving you? So we're going to go down to verse 22. And this is about the prophecy against Eli's household. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. So he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed to the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor with the Lord and men. It's funny, I'm looking at this, and it keeps on saying, it gives a story, and then all of a sudden it'll talk about how Samuel is growing in stature and favor with the Lord. So that means the Lord is already planning to move out a certain blessing out of their life because of disobedience and begin to use Samuel, because the Lord doesn't speak like that for no reason unless he has a plan to do something. He's growing for a reason. He's in his growth zone. Verse 27 goes on to say, then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me? So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of history of the priests. The priests, who are the Levites, started from Moses' time, when Moses came down from the mountain of Sinai and the Israelites had made the golden calf and they were worshiping it. When Moses saw this, he stood at the entrance of the camp and he said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. All the sons of Levi, they came. Then for those who did not, the Levites were commanded by the Lord through Moses to kill those who rebelled and worshiped the calf. And 3,000 died that day because of their disobedience. This is why when the Ark of the Covenant was being built, the Lord wanted the Levites to be priests who took care of the temple. So the Lord had them cleansed and dedicated. The Lord and the the Lord said, the Levites shall be mine. So the Lord claimed them as his because of what they did. Eli's family lineage were priests. It was the priest's job to protect the Lord's temple, to keep the temple from being defiled. He knew that his sons were what his sons were doing, but he did not take proper measures to stop them. That's why the Lord was doing what he was doing. That's why the Lord were going to basically take his sons out. And we're going to the second half of verse 28. And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me? To make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of my people Israel. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall lightly be esteemed. Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be any old man in your house. So he was cutting off the blessing. And you will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for in Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever. But any of your men who I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. That means the prime of their life. Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest. God already knew who he was raising up. It was Samuel. Who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. That's worshiping in spirit and in truth. Doing whatever is according in the Lord's heart and in his mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. So you guys remember the little skit in the beginning, how one child was disobedient and the other child was not. So the sins that that Eli's son committed, it didn't happen just one time. It was habitual, continual disobedience, continuously living in sin, knowing that you're doing it, not caring, not heeding to correction, not heeding to a healthy rebuke. That's why the Lord did what he did. And Eli was basically condoning it without saying anything because he was offering sin offerings for his sons on a daily basis so they could be forgiven. This is why God caused both his sons to die, like I said, and the promise to be lifted from Eli's lineage. Eli's offerings were to save his sons and not bless the Lord. Okay, let's go to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and this is Samuel's first prophecy. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, when his eyes had begun to grow dim, that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call you, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him, but the Lord was still calling him. I'm going to stop right there. The Lord wanted me to say this. Even in our worst days, even in our disobedience, even in a backslidden state, the Lord still sees you as special. And even in that backslidden state, the Lord will still talk to you. And this just reminded me, and he wanted to share, some of you may have heard this, but even years ago when I was in my backslidden state, and I got saved, but I did not live my life for the Lord in such a way to where I knew his voice. I was crying on my bed, and for some reason I still knew his voice when he called me special. So no matter what state you are in, the Lord can still speak to you, but it's our job to listen to that call. And at that time in my life, I did not listen to the call, but I did hear his voice. But it's our job to listen to the call, because not listening will get you in some trouble down the road. So going on to the second part of verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." I don't know if anyone's in here has ever heard the audible voice of God. I remember one time when I was laying in my bed and I had asked the Lord, I was like, "Lord, I want you to wake me up in the morning so I can pray. I don't want to fall back asleep on you because I know you called me to pray, so I want you to wake me up in the morning." And I was like, "I'm not going to set my alarm clock, because usually I'll just turn my alarm clock off." So, and it was very early, so, and that would have woke him up, my husband. But all of a sudden, I heard this, "Hallelujah." But it was like, it was loud, but it was still. And it was powerful, yet still soft. And it seemed like it echoed from eternity. And I believe that's the first time that I heard the audible voice of the Lord. And I just knew it was him and it was time to get up and pray. So that's what he does. That just because he did it back then does not mean that he can't do it down. So the Lord called Samuel three times. And each time we see that Samuel answered, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Why did Samuel do this three times? Why did he run to Eli? Samuel heard the voice of the Lord with his ears, but he was unable to discern and did not know the voice of the Lord with his heart. Not yet. There is a difference between hearing the voice of the Lord and knowing the voice of the Lord. The dictionary says that hearing means the faculty or sense by which sound is perceived. Just because you hear something does not mean that you perceive it. To perceive means to become aware of, to know or identify something. In the scripture here, you see that Samuel heard and Eli perceived. Once Eli perceived and knew that it was the Lord calling Samuel, it was his job to instruct him on what to do. Once Samuel was instructed, it was Samuel's job to be obedient and answer the call. Once Samuel answered the call, the Lord began to speak to him, and this was the beginning of Samuel being in tune with the voice of the Lord. And we're going to go to verse 11. Sorry, there's a lot of scripture, but I just wanted to get in the meat of it. Verse 11, then the Lord said, Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity on Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. I wanted to say this. The Lord doesn't do things behind our backs like how people would. The Lord told Eli what he was going to do and gave the now new prophet a confirming word, a word of confirmation. Amen. So the Lord would never do anything. If we were in his blessing and he was going to take us out of the blessing for some reason, he'll let us know. And he will confirm that word just like he'll confirm a blessing over our lives. Amen. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors. This is verse 15, opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He answered, here I am. And he said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. So Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again to Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel and Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Let's go back up real quick to verse 1 in chapter 3, where it says, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. By no means does God want his word to be rare and without revelation. He wants his word to be fruitful for his people so that they can be blessed. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom and instruction. So to cast off restraint means to have a lack of self-control. And this is how the people today are living. They're living off their feelings. They're living off their emotions. They're doing what they want to do when they want to do it. If it feels good, let's do it. If it don't, if it's right, let's do wrong. If it's wrong, let's call it right. That's how they're living right now, off their feelings, off their emotions, feeding the flesh, doing what they want to do. Males and females are taking hormones and getting changes in their body that if they were to come back to their right state of mind, their bodies will be all messed up, irreversible stuff, because of feelings, because it feels good, because this is how I feel, this is who I am, because of the lies and that the enemy played in their mind over and over and over again, and they begin to believe that lie. Because when you don't know the voice of the Lord and he is not Lord of your life, you'll be tossed to and fro by any wave of doctrine. And that's what's going on now. People are sleeping around with everything under the sun. People are angry, confused, depressed, full of anxiety, lacking hope, and deciding to commit suicide because they think they'll be better off dead. And sadly, Christians are running from their call, from the lost, while staying busy in the church because they're comfortable. Children of God, We have to run to our call. Whatever and whoever the Lord is calling us to, we have to accept that call over our lives. Because if you truly want to live your life to the Lord, we have to present our bodies as living sacrifices unto Him, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. We have to do what He wants us to do, even if it feels weird, even if it feels uncomfortable, even if you think they're going to talk about me, even if you think they're going to look at me funny. It doesn't matter. We're peculiar people. That's who the Lord called us. We're peculiar, and it's okay. Hallelujah. The Lord needs us. He can do anything, but He wants to use us. He needs us, and we need to rise up, answer the Lord's call, and because He wants to be glorified through us. Because He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So God had a plan to use Samuel in a rare situation, because there was no revelation, no word, and He used him to speak to the Israelites and His people. God's plan was set for Samuel before he was even in his mother's womb. God withheld his mom's pregnancy until the appointed time, until she got so desperate that He knew she would give Samuel to him. She just wanted to be a mother, and God just wanted to use her son. What an awesome relationship. That was her call to worship. In closing, God wants to use us. He doesn't want us to run from His call. He just wants us to say, Lord, here I am. Speak, for your servant hears. For some of you may be saying, I'm not qualified for this call, and I'm not qualified for that call. But hear me on this. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. To be qualified means to have qualities or accomplishments that fit a person for some function. To qualify means to provide with proper or necessary skills, knowledge, and credentials. I'm going to say that again. To be qualified means to have qualities or accomplishments that fit for a person for some function. To qualify means to provide with proper or necessary skills, knowledge, or credentials. The Lord is no respecter of person. This tells me that if we say yes to His call, the Lord will equip us to do the work. Everything we need is already on the inside of us, and God will draw it out when we answer His call. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.